Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. If it's your very first time, we are right in the middle of a series that we're calling 2020 Part 2. And the point of this series is very simple. For the vast majority of us, let's just be honest, all of us, 2020 has been a bit of a challenge. 2020 hasn't really gone the way we hoped it would, the way we thought it would. 2020 feels like it's taken about 7 years, and we're really only halfway through the year. And so we just thought it'd be a really good opportunity as a church to kind of pause right in the middle of 2020 and say, okay, this has happened. How do we move forward? How do we move forward in the rest of 2020 and really make the most of it, really try to turn it around and lean into Jesus and see if we can't make 2020 better? So that's what we've been talking about for the past few weeks. And so if you've missed any, I want to kind of quickly catch you up on what we've been talking about so we can move forward today, because what we've really been doing for this entire series is really looking at one verse. And it's a verse that God actually reminded me of back in June, and we've sort of been using it to kind of springboard us into 2020. And this is the verse. It says, "Let's not get tired of doing what is good." And I love this verse because it's so real and it's so personal. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of doing what's good. I'm tired of masks. I'm tired of social distancing. I'm tired of not gathering together. I'm tired of doing all the things that every medical expert says we must do right now in COVID to protect people, to slow the spread, but I'm tired of it. And you're probably tired of it. And we all can feel tired of it. And so it's important for us, especially those of us that love Jesus, to remember that it's good. In all things, there's going to be a space sometimes between when we take a step of obedience or we experience the benefit of obedience. And what we're being reminded in this verse is, hey, let's not get tired of doing what is good. And as we saw a couple weeks ago, there's actually an encouragement here, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So what Paul's really telling us here, what God is telling us is, hey, doing good is worth it. Leaning into Jesus is worth it. Following Jesus is worth it, because at some point you are going to reap blessing. You're going to reap a harvest. So like I said, that's where we've been for this entire series. If you've missed any of it, I'd highly encourage, if you don't have it already, you can just download our app and you can go back and you can catch up on weeks 1 and 2, because like I said, this is week 3 and we're really going to keep moving today. But what we've learned over the last few weeks is pretty simple. The way we do good, the way we lean into this moment, is to walk with Jesus in this moment and to walk with Jesus in our interactions with all people. And so basically what that means is to try to be Jesus to other people, to try to bring love to other people. So for the last 2 weeks, we've really learned two simple but life-changing kind of truths about how we can all rally around Jesus and try to move forward in 2020 and really make a difference. And the first thing we learned is this. We learned to embrace this idea of, let's treat everyone like someone we love. And what this basically means is, we all have people in our lives that we love. We all have people in our lives that we sacrifice for. We have people in our lives who we bend over backwards for. They're friends, they're family, they're our neighbors. And what we've learned is, as a Christ follower, we are to take that approach and apply it to the world. We are to treat everyone like someone we love, because everyone is someone God loves. And last week, we learned to expand that definition, even beyond our friends, even beyond our family, because we learned what Jesus taught us is, hey, it's not going to be how you treat your friends. It's not going to be how you treat people you love that's really going to make a difference. It's going to be this: how we treat the least reveals who we value the most. It's how we treat the people that society gives us permission to mistreat. Jesus says that is going to make the difference. And if you're here last week, you know, we talked about the fact that the early church changed the world in a time of crisis. They changed the world during a global pandemic. And they changed it by the way they treated other people. And last week I talked about how I am convinced that God is giving us the same opportunity. We have a once-in-a-lifetime moment right now to lean into Jesus, to treat everyone the way Jesus treats us, and to change the world. I really do believe God wants to use our church and use Christ followers in this moment to bring hope, to bring peace, to bring healing in this moment. And last week, I just invited you to imagine what would happen if we embraced that challenge. What would happen if we decided to treat everyone like they're someone we love? What would happen if we understood that how we treat the least is going to reveal who we value the most? That it's how we treat those people that's going to reveal that Jesus really is our Savior. That's where we left it last week. We sort of left with this dream about what could be. What could be if we as a people, we as a church, embraced this moment? And that's exactly where I want to pick up today. And I want us to take one step further, because what I'm going to show you today, what I believe God has for us today, is that could be needs to become what should be. We have to decide as a people that this really is what God wants for us, because as we're going to see today, the opportunity we discussed last week isn't optional if Jesus is our Savior. Because once we become Christians, once we give our lives to Jesus, once we receive the gift and receive the blessings of what He has for us, He has a job for us to do. Specifically, He has a purpose for us. And I know in the middle of a pandemic, the idea of a new job, the idea of a new purpose can seem overwhelming, but I also think it can be life-giving, because I've talked to so many people during this season, and so many things have changed, so many things are different. We feel helpless, we feel hopeless, we feel purposeless, because all the things we used to do and all the measures we had that showed that we were succeeding or failing are gone. And so it's into this moment that I believe God wants to remind us today, especially those of us that call ourselves Christians, we still have a purpose. We still have a role to play. God is still at work. And I'm convinced He wants to use this moment in our lives to change the world. Now, to explain why I say that, I want to take you to a man named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring. You probably remember Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. And Paul was an early church pastor and leader, and he would write letters to churches to give them instructions on how to follow Christ, how to be Christians. And it's actually his third letter to the Corinthians. We call it 2 Corinthians because we've lost one of the three letters. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul dives into exactly what I want to talk about today. He dives into our purpose. He dives into our role in this moment. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If not, we're going to have it up on the screen. But what Paul does at the very beginning of this is he speaks directly to Christians. And to Christians, he reminds us what's actually at stake. He reminds us what Jesus does. So for the Christian, this is information. If you're watching today and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christ follower, this is an invitation. Because the first thing he does is he presents what it means to become a Christ follower. Let me show you. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians. He says, anyone who belongs to Christ, that means anyone who's become a Christian, anyone who has chosen to put their faith in Jesus, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. This is the promise of Jesus. This is why people turn to Jesus, because in Jesus they can find new life. The old life is gone. They find forgiveness for mistakes. They find freedom from guilt and shame and regret. Anyone who turns to Jesus can find this new life. It's so encouraging. It's so hopeful. And this is what Paul's trying to remind us about, what actually comes from following Jesus. We've all in this room experienced it. Many of us online have experienced that new life. The freedom from addictions, the ability to overcome bad habits, the ability to mend relationships and to find that love. What Paul is saying is that is available to anyone. Anyone who wants to come to Christ can find new life, and the old life is gone. And then he reminds us how that happens. He says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. See, he's reminding the Christ follower that we didn't earn this gift. We didn't earn this salvation. What happened was God originally created the world for us to love him. He created people to have a relationship with him. And if you know the story, Adam and Eve in the garden chose to rebel against God. We rebelled and God rescued. Because when we rebelled, sin entered the world. Sin is awful. Sin sabotages our life. It's why we have guilt. It's why we have pain. It's why we have shame. It's why we have regret. Sin also separates us from relationship with God. God can't be around sin. And so God had a problem. God had created humans. He wanted to love us. We chose to sin. We brought sin into the world. If you know the story, the only thing God can actually do with sin is destroy it. And so rather than destroying his creation, God decided to send his son. He sent his son Jesus to live a perfect, sinless life. And then when he died on the cross, what God did is God took the punishment I deserved and you deserved and we all deserved because of our sins. And he punished Jesus in our place. And when Jesus died on the cross, the barrier that had separated us from God died with it. And that was literally how God brought us back to him. It was how he reconciled the relationship. He made it better through Jesus. And so anyone who puts their faith in Jesus can re-enter the relationship God intended us to have when he created us. This is the gospel. This is the message of Jesus. And for all of us who consider ourselves Christ followers, we've experienced this. We've lived this. We've discovered this new life. We've received this gift. And if you have received this gift, the gift came with a task. The gift came with a job. The gift came with an expectation. And that's what I want to show you next, because here's what Paul says. He says, and God has also given us this task of reconciling people to him. So see, God not only wants to rescue us, God not only wants to bring us back to him, but once we've experienced that new life, once we've become Christians, he gives us a task of reconciling people to him. Well, what does that mean, Paul? Well, Paul explains, he keeps going. Paul basically, he says, hey, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, it's really easy to think that God was in Christ reconciling me to him, that God died for me, that he came for me and my family to find freedom in Jesus, freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, eternal life, that he came to give it to me. What Paul is saying is he did, but he also came to do it for the entire world. See, on the cross, Jesus died for the world's sins so that God would no longer count people's sins against them. It wasn't just mine. It wasn't just yours. It was the world's. And Paul keeps going. And he says, and he now gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. See, he's given this message to us. He saved us, and now he wants to use us to spread the message to other people. Here's what that means. So we, those of us that call ourselves Christians, those of us that call ourselves Christ followers, those of us who have discovered this new life, we are Christ's ambassadors, which means God is making his appeal through us. Now, you're probably familiar with the term ambassador. An ambassador is a representative of a higher power. It's a representative of someone else. And an ambassador's job is to speak on behalf of the person he is representing. Now, I want to tie the dots together for you today, because here's what Paul is saying. He's saying part of the new life that we get through Jesus is the opportunity and the obligation to speak on his behalf to a world that desperately needs him. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. He is making his appeal through us. And here's what that means. That means people in our lives that don't know Jesus will make their decisions about Jesus based on our behaviors. People are evaluating us. They're watching us. They're seeing us. And the more we talk about Jesus and the more they know that we are Christ followers, they are evaluating Jesus based on us. That is our opportunity. That is our obligation. That is our moment. So what do we want our lives to say? about Jesus. Here's what Paul says. He says, we speak for Christ. Our lives speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. Hey, God's worth it. Hey, a relationship with Jesus is worth it. Hey, it's better on this side of the equation. The new life is better. The new life is filled with hope and forgiveness. The new life is filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's better on this side. See, the reason we love everyone is because God loves everyone, and everyone is going to make the decisions about God based on how we treat them. The reason we serve the least of these is because God loves the least of these. And people are going to be watching us to make their decisions and their evaluations of our Savior. Now, I know you want to say, man, that sounds overwhelming. I didn't really sign up for this. And where Jesus would say, well, no, you didn't. But that's why I gave you a new life. That's why when you became a Christ follower, that old life is gone. You know, the old habits and the old selfishness, we're working on that. I'm speaking over you. That's not who you are anymore. You're a new person. You are an ambassador for me. And if you lean into me, if you trust me, if you let me change you from the inside out, we can grow your faith and grow your life so that everyone who sees you and interacts with you will hear, come back to God. That is our opportunity. That is our moment to seize right now. And last week it was just simply an opportunity. Today I hope we see it's not optional. Because what Paul is saying is this is what comes with the new life. When we receive Jesus, when we receive that new life, when we walk in that new life, we become his ambassadors. So it's not a matter of do we represent Jesus. It's a question of how do we represent Jesus. And what I'm hoping we can all embrace today, what I'm hoping we can all understand and we can move forward putting into practice what Paul is saying to us. And we think that what we've talked about for the last few weeks about loving other people and serving other people and loving the least of these, that we can all put that together and move forward understanding the implications of what Paul is saying. And it's this. The louder we speak, the better Jesus should look. Christ follower. We're his ambassadors. We are his representatives. And our calling is to speak on his behalf, to plead, come back to God. So what would happen if we all made that our standard in our lives, in all interactions, in all moments, in all situations, if we understood the louder we speak, both in word and deed, the better Jesus should look. The more loving, the more compassionate, the more compelling, the more inviting, the more attractive Jesus should look. Because that is what Paul is saying. That is our opportunity and our obligation if we've received the new life that comes from Jesus. Now, if you've been around Wellspring for a while, this shouldn't be too shocking to you. This shouldn't be too out of left field because we actually have a core value. One of the things that we value more than anything else at our church that says this, one of our core values is that we are rescued people who rescue people. That's what we mean. We know that through Jesus we have been rescued. And we believe it is our job to join with Jesus to rescue a world that desperately needs him because we are his ambassadors. Because he is making his appeal through us. And what is the single, most easiest, clearest way to do that, to move forward with Jesus, to make sure our life speaks on behalf of Jesus? It's the verse we've been talking about this entire series. Let's not get tired of doing. What is good? Let's not get tired of being great ambassadors. Let's not get tired of speaking on behalf of Jesus. Let's not get tired of behaving in ways that draws people to Jesus. Why? Because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Do you know that harvest might be your best friend? That harvest might be a family member. That harvest might be a neighbor. That harvest might be a coworker. That harvest might be a stranger. See, we don't know what God wants to do through us. We just know God wants to move through us. And it's our opportunity, and it's our moment, and it's a chance for us to say, okay, I'm in. I get it. This isn't optional. This is what we are called to do. So yes, moving forward, I'm going to adopt the mantra of this series. And we're all going to agree together to let's treat everyone like someone we love. Because every moment is a moment to be an ambassador. Every moment is a moment to speak into someone else's life. Every moment is a moment someone else might use to evaluate our Savior. And so we want to make sure in those moments that we are speaking loud and clear, come back to God. So Wellspring, I just have a question and then we're done. What would happen this week? What would happen if we all embrace this idea that we've been called to be an ambassador, that we've all been called to speak on God's behalf? What would happen if we all embraced this truth, that the louder we speak, the better Jesus should look? How would that change your personal interactions with other people? How would that change your behaviors, both publicly and privately? What would happen if you said, hey, before I send this text, does this text make Jesus look better or worse? Hey, you know what? Before I post this on social media, does this make Jesus look better or worse? Before I have this encounter with a person at the grocery store who cut in line, does this make Jesus look better or worse? Before I pull up at the stoplight to the person who went 35 and a 45 and made me late, does this moment, does this interaction make Jesus look better or worse? I'm just saying, Wellspring, what would happen if we fully embraced the opportunity we have in this moment? If we understood that we were created to speak on God's behalf, that He is planning to use us to scream, come back to God. What would happen if we embraced that challenge this week? And every time we felt our voices and our lives get louder, we ask the question, does this make Jesus look better? And if it does, shout. And if it doesn't, take a step back. Evaluate. Huh, you know what? Nope, that's me being a little selfish. Huh, you know what? That's me being a little angry. Hey, you know what? Nah, Jesus, thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, I'm going to take a step back. Wellspring, I believe with all my heart that God wants to use us in the moment to change the world. I believe He's created us and equipped us for that very purpose. But it's going to require work from us. It's going to require leaning in. It's going to require evaluation. It's going to require community. It's going to require trusting people to say, hey, you were pretty loud on social media yesterday. It didn't make Jesus look very good. I love you, but that didn't make Jesus look very good. Hey, in that meeting the other day, when that happened, yeah, is there any way I can help you with that? Hey, let's talk about that. Because remember, man, we're speaking on His behalf. He's making His appeal through us. And He came not just to save us, but to save the world. Which means He wants to use us to partner with Him to reach the world. So let's evaluate our volume this week. Let's evaluate what our lives are speaking. And let's allow Jesus to speak through us. And as we do, let's remember the calling of a Christ follower, the law of Christ that we talked about week one, the calling that will change everything as we move forward into 2020 in an effort to do good. It all comes down to one decision. Let's treat everyone like someone we love. Not just with our actions, but with our words, with our interactions, with every fiber of what we do. May we remember from today forward that one of the ways we love everyone is to allow Jesus to shine through us, to allow our behaviors to speak on his behalf in an inviting way, to say, hey, come to this side. The new life is better. I believe that's what God wants to do in our lives. And I believe he's prepared and equipped us all for this moment. And next week, as we continue this series, we're going to talk about the best thing we can bring to all situations, to invite people to discover the new life we found. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. We are so thankful for your Son. We're so thankful that you chose to send him to bring us back, that you chose to give us new life. Father, I pray as we move forward into 2020 that we embrace that new life, that we embrace the path you have for us, and that today we understand that the louder we speak, the better you should look. Not the better we should look, not the better our arguments should look, not the better our side should look, but you, Father. So may we internalize that this week, and may our lives be changed as we try to live our faith out loud, as we do everything we can, Father, to elevate your Son and to make him look so appealing and so inviting and so engaging that our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, and even strangers, Father, will be drawn to him to make the same decision we did, and they will discover the new life we have found in you. We thank you for inviting us into your purpose in this moment. And we cannot wait to see the harvest of blessing you have prepared. We love you. We thank you. And it's in your Son's name we pray.